Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With your host, Andrew Donaldson, this is Heard Tell.
Welcome back to Heard Tell. He is back, and he's one of our favorites, good friend of ours, Eric Garcia. He's an ace reporter. He covers Congress and stuff, but he's also got a great book out, We Are Not Broken, about autism. If you haven't read it yet, go find it. It's excellent. He did a long-form podcast with us right here on Heard Tell. Go back and listen to that. One of the best ones we've ever done. In the top three listen to podcasts we have ever done. Eric, how are you today, my friend?
Doing all right. How you doing, my friend?
I always enjoy talking to you. We're going to talk Congress and politics and your day job here in just a little bit. But I want to start on this disability thing for a second, because Sure. We had a viral video go around. You commented it on Twitter. I commented on it on Twitter. This young lady, Elizabeth Bonker, who was the valedictorian of her class, she got to give the speech.
Yeah.
The thing is, with her particular disability set, she's nonverbal or limited verbal. I'll let you set up the story here, because the way it kind of went viral, and it was a feel-good story, and the vast majority of people treated it that way, but there was an element. So I want you to set this up for her, what this young lady did and what it meant for her to give a valedictorian speech in the first place.
Yeah, so it looks like this young lady, her name is Elizabeth Bonker. She graduated valedictorian. She's a non-speaking autistic woman, and she apparently, you know, had trouble. Autism is a communication disorder, and a lot of autistic people, can't speak. And apparently she was able to do this because she had a communication device. But the thing that stood out to me was she talked about was, I think that it was framed as a feel-good story, as, wow, look at this autistic person who graduated college. And that's amazing. And I'm not taking away from that. That is amazing. But like, when I think about it, I'm like, why do we think that's amazing? Well, it's because we don't think that autistic people can go to college. And she specifically said it's because she had the help of a support worker who and offered this service for typing devices. Unfortunately, a lot of autistic people don't get those devices and don't get those tools. So I think that is one of the other things. And I think the other thing that stood out to me was Ms. Bonker mentioned that her principal said that R word couldn't be valedictorian. And I think that it was framed as a way of, oh, wow, she overcame being this. But I remember being really kind of disturbed by that. I was like, this person, her principal said that? Excuse me? I think that it was, I don't want to come off as taking away from her. She obviously accomplished an amazing thing. But I think what it ended up feeling was like, I think that autistic people I know who shared it for very different reasons than the general public. A lot of people on Twitter was like, I'm not crying, you're crying, or this is so inspirational, things like that. And the coverage felt almost lacking. That's not to say some NPR did a great example of like what the program she was doing and what she wants to do and what she wants to, you know, but a lot of it just felt like filler, kind of non-substantive, and that really kind of, I really didn't like the way that it was framed.
Yeah, we talked about this when we covered your book on Hertel, and folks need to go back and listen to that conversation. I'm really proud of it. It was fantastic. But when you did your book, you talked to some of these families and these people that do this. I just don't think we've really set in how much technology opens doors like this for it. And it stops where, you know, before, like my mom's generation, she was a special ed teacher. It was all on the special ed teachers and the care providers to do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any special training to get these people technology things that can do a lot of the lifting for you and really open up their world, can't you?
You do not need as much training, or you don't need to necessarily be a specialist. It opens plenty of doors, but like when I tweeted this out, you know, like I got some responses about like how this is amazing. This is something that like is going to change kids' lives or autistic adults' lives. I was just talking one young gentleman who everybody needs to know about. His name is Hari Srinivasan. This weekend, he just graduated from Cal. I interviewed him for my book. He is not speaking. Same deal. He, you know, for a long time, people didn't assume anything from him or didn't expect anything from him. He just graduated from Cal. He's now on the federal government's advisory committee for autism. Unbelievably brilliant, unbelievably talented. And he's a poet. He's a writer. And it was just that small thing of like this piece of technology and this service open countless doors for him. And I did another event in the Bay Area of California with another young man. I believe his name is Benjamin Bro, who is not speaking, and he does videos where he's not speaking. So these tools can do tons of things. It's just a matter of how available they are and how much how much funding it is, because there's scarce resources. So like, the technology exists. Now it's a matter of putting it in as many people's hands as possible.
You use the term, and I've used it before in my writing, inspiration porn. This dovetails with other kind of porn that I've used, like poverty tourism porn that we have in my beloved West Virginia. We have a tendency to drive by these stories, and you mentioned it. It's an inspirational story. People do that. I'm not crying. You're not crying. That's all well and good. I think where this gets important, though, is taking that next step of going, and you brought it up when you did your little tweet thread about this, of, okay, but let's talk about the practical parts that made this work, because that's where this stuff really starts changing. And then this shouldn't be abnormal. This should be a normal thing, because these people should have this ability and these resources all along.
Oh yeah, totally. I think when I went to West Virginia, even for my book and about poverty porn, I was really adamant about not being condescending toward West Virginia. And I think it's because I'm a person with a disability, and I've seen like when people kind of commodify it. And I should say the term inspiration porn was created by the late Stella Young, one of the who passed away a long time ago. She was a disability rights activist. And I think that the thing about it, you know, the term inspiration porn or poverty porn, is that it's not meant for the person who's the subject of it. It's meant for the consumer to consume, either to say, oh, look at these poor people in West Virginia, or look at this poor disabled person who is so inspiring. And I think because a lot of people, because like the word inspiration is really strange, isn't it? Because like a lot of autistic people have told me after I wrote my book, you know, you've inspired me. And I'm like, great. I'm really happy that I'm able to provide that example. But like, I think what a lot of people say to me who aren't autistic or who aren't disabled are like, you're so inspiring. I'm like, okay, I inspired you to do what? You know, what do you, did I inspire you to just deal with your daily lives, or did I inspire you to change things, or did I inspire you to look at autistic people differently? Did I inspire you to make things better for autistic or disabled people? What did I inspire you to do? So inspiration is nice, But like, you know, I think about it, it's like inspire, it's like put in breath, like you breathe in life into something. That's literally like the roots of the word. So like, I think about it, it's like, okay, what did I breathe in life for you to do? You know?
Talking to Eric Garcia, our good friend, great reporter. The book he wrote on autism is We Are Not Broken, and it's fantastic. You can find it anywhere. Just Google it. It'll pop right up. Let's do a little bit of nomenclature while we're on the subject, though. We're seeing the word more and more ableism. Both in reporting, people are pushing back on it a little bit, but you're the expert on this stuff. Define that word so that it's properly used, because I've seen it used both ways, where it's used as a real good tool to kind of dig into stuff. I've also seen that term abused quite a bit, especially online and social media. Define that word and how we should and shouldn't be using it, if you would, please.
Yeah. Sir. So I do a lot of work on this, but like I borrow from what, so like I'm not, you know, this is from what other people have said. Ableism to me, and from what a lot of other people have said, is any type of barrier that prevents a person with a disability from living life in a way that any person without a disability could. So this could be anything from the lack of an elevator in a hotel building, or it could be the lack of accommodations in a school. The lack of enough disability services in a school. It could be a television show using the R word or using a kind of demeaning depiction of a person with a disability. Ableism is basically anything that perpetuates the barriers that people with disabilities have. So that is a very, very broad statement, and I keep it intentionally broad because there's a lot of people who argue different things, who are smarter than me. I'm still learning about it, but I think that's what that to me is as broad of a term as possible, I think.
Yeah, Eric Garcia joining us. Let's talk about something that is very pertinent to current events when it comes to disability rights. Voting is underway right now. One thing that came out of the COVID moves to change voting laws that was kind of unintentional was it actually opened up a lot of disability type stuff for voters because it expanded how people voted. I will admit, I never really thought about this much until 2016. I got out of the hospital right before the election. I went to vote. It was actually the first time I'd really been out of the house after being in the hospital for multiple months. I had to use the ADA station because I couldn't stand up. I still had tubes in me. I had the backpack with the pumps and all that. And the poll worker didn't really know what to do with me because they weren't well, and I don't want to bang on them. They just weren't well trained. You know, I'm like, look, it's surgically attached. No, I can't put my bag down. This kind of thing. It's like, I had to sit down to vote. It changed my perspective totally. You've talked about it before. This is going to be the first election after a lot of those COVID restrictions, but there was a lot of disability positive things that came out of that we need to apply to elections, isn't there?
Yes. So the interesting thing, a lot of people didn't know, that I didn't know until reports came out. And I believe there was, I have the report in front of me, that disability turnout increased 6 percentage points to 62% in 2020. Now, this isn't to say that there weren't barriers. I think of the late, she just passed away, Cheryl Grossman, who was a disability rights activist not too far from here in Maryland. For example, because people with chronic illnesses couldn't go out, they had to post their ballot on the door, and that might have compromised, you know, the secrecy of the ballot. But for a lot of people with disability, mail-in ballots or drop boxes opened up doors and barriers that otherwise did not exist. Incidentally enough, there was I know a few people with disabilities who orchestrated during the Georgia runoffs, orchestrated drives for like literally driving people with disabilities with mobility impairments to go drop off their ballots and drop boxes. So that was one of those things that, in a weird way, COVID was such a, it was such a double-edged sword for so many people with disabilities, because on one end you had students with disabilities not being able to get their services through their IEPs. At the same time, a lot of college students with disabilities were able to, their classrooms became much more accessible. On one end, it was, you know, a lot of people in congregate care settings died. or a lot of people with, you know, comorbidities died before the vaccine came out. On the other, it was, you had an increase in disability voting turnout. So it was, it was such a difficult time for a lot of people with disabilities, you know, as a whole, and the pandemic still is. But that was one of the most fascinating things, was you saw this incredible show of force for voters with disabilities, when typically, as you said before, there are no, a lot of poll stations still aren't as ADA accessible. A good friend of ours, somebody you and I both follow, Grace Panetta, she's noted that a lot of Native American polling stations aren't necessarily ADA accessible. It's not because of any kind of malice or anything like that, but it's just because they don't, Native American communities often don't have the resources. So this is a real thing.
Yeah. And getting to experience, to my own shame, I'll put my hand up and wear that hat. I should have thought of it ahead of time, but when you experience it, you notice it really, really, like, I can't stand here for 5 minutes and read this ballot. I gotta sit down. And just stuff like that. And mine was medical, so it was temporary, but still something to keep your mind on. Make sure you're checking on your friend. This is a good point to do a public service announcement too. If you have friends and family members with disabilities, go with them to vote. They may need a little bit of help. That is allowed under the laws. Make sure you do that. Eric Garcia joining us. We're going to take a quick break on Hurtel. We come back, going to make him put his day job hat back on, talk a little Congress, talk about what our Congress critters are up to, midterm elections, all that good stuff. The great Eric Garcia, our good friend. More Hurtel with him right after this. Now let me see you go off like a bomb.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Herd Tell. Eric Garcia, Ace reporter. He writes for The Independent. He contributes all over the place. We've talked about his passion before. Now we're going to talk about his day job. He covers Congress. Just turn down the noise for us for a second. We know it's a midterm election. We know we got some really big stuff going on, abortion, Ukraine. Now we're going to probably do a gun debate again because of the mass shooting in Buffalo. What's the feeling in Congress about how the midterms are going? Because those folks don't lie. They're the ones with the skin in the game. We're hearing a lot of talk about front benchers, back benchers, different factions. What's the mood in the halls of Congress right now?
So I think right now, so last week there was the vote on the Women's Health Protection Act, which was Democrats' legislation on Roe v. Wade. Basically, they said to codify it. Republicans said it went too far, and they said it went beyond Roe. Senator Susan Collins and Senator Lisa Murkowski said it, you know, they just wanted the straight protections for Roe. So, but what's funny about it is that there was almost this feeling of this was a meaningless vote. Not a lot of senators were sitting in their desks during the vote. You know, people were filing in and out. You didn't get the feeling that this was very high stakes. And I think that for a lot of, I think for that reason, there was almost kind of this feeling. I asked Senator Gary Peters, I was like, do you think this, will this have any kind of effect? I said, the only senator who you guys really want to get on record is Ron Johnson, because the other state seats, Senator Richard Burr is retiring, Senator Pat Toomey is retiring. Those are the only two real flippable seats. And he says, we're going to find out. So there was almost kind of this feeling of, you know, like, This has no Republicans kind of, well, that's Democrats. And then Democrats were kind of like, we know that this isn't going to pass. We know there's no chance of it passing. And that was even before Joe Manchin came out against it. So it didn't even need a filibuster because it was 51-49. So there was that. I think the other thing that everybody's focusing on right now is there is, you know, talk about passing the Ukraine aid. It passed overwhelmingly on the House side. It was going to pass on last week, I think on Thursday or Friday, then Rand Paul blocked it. It's a $40 billion package to Ukraine, and he wanted to add like some new parts right on the floor. He did not even in committee. But I think there's this feeling in the midterm. I think Democrats recognize, okay, we might lose the House. It looks pretty clear that we might. So we're going to just focus on doing what we want, you know, passing stuff we want to do. Right now, of course, they had to focus on the, right now they're already doing legislation on the baby formula shortage. I don't know how, even if the legislation were to pass, if it would go through the Senate, because there's talk about, you know, importing, increasing imports from Latin America countries. But again, it feels like a lot, the thing of it is that you're starting to see people go from governing mode to campaign mode. You're going to see that a lot in the coming months as primaries roll around. Tomorrow is the beginning. Tomorrow, North Carolina and Pennsylvania have their primaries North Carolina's most famous freshman, Madison Cawthorn, is up in a tough primary. So right now, I think there's kind of this feeling of doing the stuff they need to do, which is pass Ukraine aid. They already passed the omnibus spending bill. They're trying to pass a COVID relief package. And there's kind of just this feeling of, we need to pass stuff to at least show our voters we're trying to do something, but it's not really going to get done. You're going to see that. You see the same thing with gun stuff. They're probably going to have a vote on the gun stuff, one kind of vote on guns, but they know it's not going to pass with a 50-50 Senate. So
lots of failure theater is what you're telling me here.
That's a good line. Failure theater. And one of the things that I think is that a lot of Democrats are saying, we want to at least show that we're trying. And I don't know how much that motivates Democratic voters, because if you're a Democratic voter and you see both houses, you have both houses of Congress and the White House, you're kind of looking at like, well, what in the dickens is going on? I thought that, you know, we had a majority, but obviously there's the filibuster. Obviously you have people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, and even some moderates like Chris Coons and others, but like, there's almost this feeling of what gives. Meanwhile, Republican turnout is already going to be high because it's a midterm. It's just a matter of, is it going to, you know, so I'm not convinced that it's going to juice up Democratic turnout, at least for now, at least what polling says for now.
Yeah. Eric Garcia, he's the congressional beat coverer for the Independent, along with a lot of other places he writes. You just mentioned North Carolina. One of those senators a lot of people may not even think of or talk about, turns out he's been driving a whole lot of the news cycle the last few weeks. You mentioned Madison Cawthorn. Did you know Tom Tillis was this much of a killer?
I knew he was a killer back when, because I got my start covering news back when I was a student at the University of North Carolina, and covering the General Assembly, like, because I took a class where you had to cover the General Assembly because it went too far away. And I kind of knew that Tom Tillis was a killer because he was, back in 2010, he was the one who raised all the money and recruited all those candidates who helped North Carolina Republicans take back both houses of the legislature for like the first time since 1898, and helped them win a trifecta when McCrory won, who he's known for a while, in 2012. He is often, you know, he has his, you know, politically, he's very vulnerable. His negatives have always been very high. Even when he ran against Hagan, obviously that was a blood feud. And then even when he lost to Cal Cunningham, his negative, people's attitudes about Tom Tillis never really changed. But he's a silent killer. And when he wants to be when he wants to be ruthless, he can be ruthless. I've said in the past he should be NRS. If Republicans were smart, they'd make him NRSC chairman because he knows how to win the suburban areas in North Carolina. That's obviously a big place where Republicans are lacking right now. He's obviously a lot more astute. He comes from a suburban area, Cornelius, which is a suburb of Charlotte. It doesn't surprise me that he's decided to go nuclear on Madison Cawthorn. And I have a piece that just came out this morning where I talk a little bit more about why he decided to go in on Cawthorn.
And just to be clear here, I think Cawthorn deserves every bit of this because he shouldn't have been in there in the first place. But it's pretty clear that I think it's somewhat organic, but whoever called the code red down on Madison Cawthorn, I think a lot of those roads go to Tom Tillis and his network. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I think that one of the things that happened was, if you remember, he tried switching districts when North Carolina did redistricting, and then it was a district that Speaker Tim Moore, who was Tillis' successor, was going to try to fill, and Cawthorn called him a go-along to get-along guy, which is weird because as long as I've known Tim Moore, he may not be MAGA, but he's conservative. He was the guy behind the bathroom.
He's not shy and subtle, and you don't have to go looking for him when you cover North Carolina state politics.
No, he's very conservative. So when Cawthorn called him a go-along to get-along guy, I was like, excuse me? this guy's conservative. But I think that was the beginning. And, of course, that was a Charlotte area district. And Tillis was like, okay, you tried to encroach on my home turf, and you're trying to undo this machine that I've built. And credit to Tillis and to Art Pope and Phil Berger, and to a lesser extent, Pat McCrory, that we kind of more rode the wave than he actually did anything to facilitate the win. They are responsible for making North Carolina, turning it from a purple state to a pinkish state. And to almost, I'd argue, a red state in the next few years. So I think that Tillis was kind of like, okay, you okay, tough guy, you want to do this? Okay, we're gonna, you mentioned yesterday on Twitter, you mentioned the Al Pacino, Glenn Ross monologue. He's like, how dare you speak amongst men, you child?
Yeah, Madison's getting a lecture in how politics actually work by people who are masters at making the machinery go. Yes. And by the way, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. May he be gone from our politics forever. I hope he gets some help for himself. He's clearly not all there. Let's talk about something else real quick. We're going to do a lot of banging on the Democrats in this midterm just because historically, cyclically, they're going to have a rough year.
They're going to have a rough year.
I still think, though, just in the interest of being a little fair here, just because they win ain't going to solve all their problems. I think the Republicans are going to have a mess on their hands come January when the leadership posts come up. What's the feeling? Because Kevin McCarthy, it keeps bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling. He does not have, he may have the votes, but he doesn't have the confidence of this caucus, does he?
Well, you just look last week with the vote on Ukraine aid, 57 Republicans voted against Ukraine aid. A lot of it was the usual suspects. But like, incidentally enough, somebody Representative Virginia Fox, who's a longtime Republican legislator from North Carolina, before the vote, I asked, I was like, how are you going to vote on this? And she eventually voted yes, but she says, I know when the vote will actually come. And that to me, Representative Rodney Davis also later voted for it. I caught him in the hallways drinking a can of beer as he was leaving Scalise's office. which shows you how seriously they take it. He was just like, I'll let you know, I'll figure out how I vote when it comes. There's definitely this feeling that McCarthy doesn't have the support of the base or the support of the most conservative voices. And I should say this was before the Jonathan Martin, Alex Burns book and the audio that was leaked about him saying, Trump should resign or I'm going to tell him to resign. There was always this feeling that he wasn't the closer, to use an NBA analogy, because it's the NBA, he's not going to be the guy who you need in game seven. He's more like James Harden on the Philadelphia 76ers now. And I say that with every, subtlety and connotation that you can imagine. So there's just this feeling that he's not the guy. He's not going to be the person who can facilitate things. He's not the guy who can put up and mount a strong opposition to the Biden administration. He's not going to be seen as somebody who could partner with Mitch McConnell, or if by some miracle Democrats hold on to the Senate, Chuck Schumer. He's not seen as the guy you, to borrow from another Aaron Sorkin movie, he's not a guy you want on that wall, so to speak.
Okay, and that's all well and good. I agree with everything you just said. Walter Jones, where are you when you need you? Y'all go Google that one. The last time Kevin McCarthy came up, they had to go get Paul Ryan and offer him the planet. And yeah, that was a Walter Jones production. We'll talk about that some other time. But that's all well and good. You got to have somebody that can beat him in the election, though. Is there anybody that's going to beat him in a caucus election for the speakership?
You know, there are definitely some people I've thought about. You know, I think Representative Jim Banks, who's chairman of the Republican Study Committee, he is somebody who has it. I think Representative Steve Scalise, a lot of people in the conference like him. Obviously he was shot during a congressional baseball practice by some guy who like said he was a Bernie Sanders supporter, and then Bernie denounced him on the floor. But but he was paralyzed for a little bit, I believe, and he had to use a walker. Now he can walk. But Scalise is somebody who a lot of people in the conference like. There's always talk about somebody like Jim Jordan doing it. I don't think Jordan would actually want to lead the conference, because that'd mean he'd actually have to work, and he couldn't just puff his chest out. So. The question is, this is the ultimate problem with any of the people who move up in Republican leadership, because John Boehner started out his career as a bomb thrower in Congress and ended up by the end of it being, of course, being Education Committee Chairman, and did No Child Left Behind with Ted Kennedy. He was seen as a heretic and he was ultimately booted out. Paul Ryan started out as kind of a hellraiser with Mike Pence coming up, and they got elected around the same time. Then eventually he was seen as insufficiently conservative. The difficulty for any Republican leader, and it's different a little bit for the Democrats, is that eventually you would, by virtue of having to govern and by virtue of having a Democratic president, you're going to be seen as insufficiently conservative. You're going to be seen as insufficient. You're going to be seen as a rhino. You're going to be seen as any of those things. And eventually people are going to get mad at you. And that's what led to John Boehner getting booted and Paul Ryan eventually saying, forget this, I quit. That's going to be that. So the question about who would fit that mold, it's difficult to say, because even if and it looks like it would be a guy, it might be, some people talk about Elise Stefanik, but I don't think she has the votes yet. But any guy or girl who gets to that point, eventually by virtue of being in leadership, you're going to be seen as a rhino. So I don't know if anybody else could mount that kind of challenge. I think the best person, honestly, I think is Jim Banks, who's chairman of the study committee, but that's just me.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Elise Stefanik, because she didn't sell her soul just to be on the third post in the Republican Congress. She's got ambitions. But that's another story for another day. And that's also, by the way, why she's getting all the attack and flack with the New York thing, too. People want to go ahead and knock her down now. A lot of machinations. Our friend Eric Garcia, he does great reporting work. He writes at The Independent. He also contributes to other places like MSNBC and all over. But before you pump all those things, make sure you tell everybody where you can get the book. We started out talking about autism and spectrum and disabilities, because it's such a great book. I've read it. I've had you on before about it. Tell folks when they have find the book, and then tell them about your social media and the political stuff that pays the bills.
Sure thing. We're Not Broken, Changing the Autism Conversation. It's out of bookstores now. We got the paperback coming out August 2nd. You can pre-order those now. The first people who post the, and I'll just do it. Let's just do a little giveaway. Why don't we? The first 50 people who post a link of this podcast and a pre-order of the book, we'll get a signed nameplate from me. Just DM me and we'll do that. You can follow me on social media at Eric M. Garcia. You can follow on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at Eric M. Garcia 14. And I always love coming on here. I always love talking with Andrew. So
yeah, let's just go ahead and pencil it in, man. That paperback comes out, we'll have you on and we'll talk exclusively about the book, because I want to update some of those stories. We've actually become Twitter buddies with a few of those folks, which is just too cool in my book. So absolutely, you can update the stories on some of those families, because those were amazing people that made the book amazing.
Those were absolutely, they're amazing people. I still talk with a lot of them. Yeah.
Let's plan on doing it. Eric Garcia, one of our favorites. Appreciate your work, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.